This audio presentation is a teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled The Fantastic Four, Pastor Aaron speaks about the four fantastic friends, which are faith, hope, endurance, and love. This message was recorded on Sunday, October 4th, 2015. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
And it's warm, yeah, this morning. Man, and I apologize, I am sweating and you can see it. But the good thing about today is that you don't have to watch me sweat all through the day, because I'm going to invite Rox to come up right now, and she's going to do something special for most of the message today. So would you welcome her? So today you get to watch her sweat instead of me. If you don't know, Rox is actually my boss at Imiloa, so she got to be nice to me there, because she know I'll get back at her over here.
Thanks,
you know, two things happened to me new. I mean, I've been doing messages for 20-something years now, and two things for the first time happened today. First one is I'm sweating through my shirt. Usually you don't see that. Well, the second one was that on the way down here, I was almost at, I live up at the top of Kawailani, and on the way down, almost down to Kanoi Lehua, the main road, I realized that I forgot my folder with the message in it. 20 years, and the first time I did that, but I didn't panic because I knew that Rox had most of the message today. But I've been doing this, I've had the opportunity to do this for a long time, and throughout the years, I think the thing that I have enjoyed most is hearing stories, specifically people's stories. Stories of success, stories of salvation, even stories of failure. And you know what? I think the stories of failure are the best ones, because if these people who failed were willing, if they were willing, they would always come away with a lesson, a moral, to which the next chapter in their lives became success. The truth is that every life is a story. A story authored by the author of life himself. In fact, the most amazing and important story you will ever read is the story of you. Your life is an amazing story. So how does it read? Is it an adventure? Is it a comedy? Is it filled with drama? Or is it a tragedy? One that is filled with failure. Again, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because God is not done writing it yet. Amen? You know, every single day, we are given the opportunity to hear a page of our own story, if we're willing and faithful to sit and to at God's feet and listen to Him. And what I'm talking about is taking the time to do daily devotions. Now, you hear us talk about this all the time. I'm not going to elaborate on it this week, but because I'll get to next week. But if you sit and read His Word, and then not just read the Word, but listen, and be faithful to even take notes when God speaks, then He will allow you to have an application in your life. He will read to you maybe one page out of the story of your life every day. Now, maybe you think your story is not so good right now. The question is, have you been taking the time to listen to how God really wrote it? And if you have you been faithful to apply it in your life? If not, then you know why it's not so good. It was in one of those devotion times several years ago that God shared with me an incredible story, one that He wanted to be a part of my life. And while sitting at His feet and reading through the book of Mark, chapter 2, He caused verses 1 through 5 to stand out to me, where it says, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and He preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to Him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get Him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" How many of you read this story many, many times? Just like me. I probably read it 15, 20 times before this day, and I remember this day. But when I read it that day, you know what I saw? I didn't see the people who were gawking at Jesus. I didn't have the expectation of a physical miracle. Nothing really physical at all. That day, God showed me the heart of four real friends. And he was asking me to apply that kind of heart into my life, into my story. And as I was meditating that day and thinking about this gem that God had allowed me to extract, he began to expound on that story. And he told me the unwritten story of the Fantastic Four. Not the ones that we see in the movies. Not the ones with the physical superpowers. But the real Fantastic Four. The ones with the power to alter eternity. So once upon a time, in a town not much unlike our own, in a little town called Capernaum.
It all begins with one man. The Bible doesn't give him a name, so we'll just call him Joe. And we all know Joe. In fact, we all have Joe in our lives. Most of us have more than one Joe. Joe is a paralytic. Here in the book of Matthew, Joe is physically paralyzed. But the Joe in our life isn't necessarily suffering from a physical paralysis. No, it's much more serious than that. Joe suffers from spiritual paralysis. He is the one who cannot or will not come to Jesus on his own. Perhaps he grew up in a broken home, or he's been caught up in the belief system of this world, which tells him that to believe in a God who offers eternity is just plain foolishness. Or maybe he has been offended by a Christian in some way that turned him off. Irregardless of the circumstance, Joe is the guy who will never meet Jesus on his own accord. Fortunately for the Joe in this story, he had four fantastic friends. Again, the author Mark never named these friends, but we know their names by their actions. The name of the first friend was Faith. And faith is the one who got it all started, because even without seeing, faith believes. That's just who faith is. Hebrews 11:1 tells us about him. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And faith woke up that morning to a town that was all astir with action. And he popped his head outside to see what all the fuss was about. "Haven't you heard?" someone asked. "Jesus is in town." Ah, a feeling of joy swept through Faith's heart as he knew that many lives would be touched that day, and he believed for their very best. Now, he had no particular reason to add to the chaos of joining the crowd to gawk at everything that Jesus did, and he was content to stay right here at home. You see, Faith already believed in who Jesus was and had accepted his message of salvation. He had no need to witness any more miracles for himself. But Faith could not remain at home that day, because his heart immediately pictured Joe lying at home, unable to get to Jesus on his own. And he had to do something, because as faith grows in Jesus, it cannot be contained, but must act in heart servantry. He knew that he had to get Joe to the feet of Jesus. He also knew that he couldn't carry Joe alone, so he set out and went to go and get another of Joe's friends named Hope. You see, Hope always desires the very best for Joe, and Faith knew that Hope would be the one with the word of encouragement for Joe, perhaps even the word that would bring Joe to where Jesus was. Hebrew describes hope as, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf." And Faith knew that Hope would not hesitate to help. In fact, when Faith approached Hope's house, he found Hope on the doorstep, already lacing up his shoes. Hope looked up at an approaching Faith. He smiled and yelled, "Dude, I was just coming to get you. Did you hear? Jesus is in town." "Sure did," Faith answered. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Again, Hope smiled. Joe? He asked, already knowing the answer. Faith smiled back and nodded. Isn't it amazing how faith and hope just think alike? And without another word, they went towards Joe's house. Along the way, they discovered that they had quite a challenge upcoming. You see, Joe's house was completely across the other side of town where Jesus was. It would be tough enough just to walk there without a load to carry, but a man on a pallet? Now that would be really tough. They'd need some help, so they stopped to think for a moment. Now Faith, he wasn't too worried, because he had hope. And when you have hope, you don't worry so much. And as Faith knew he would, Hope had an idea. Doesn't Endurance live right around the corner? Hope asked. Yes, he does, answered Faith. I knew I could count on you. But do you think he'll help? Hope asked. I believe so. Endurance is always up to the challenge. So they took a quick left and ran to the house of Endurance, also known as Long Suffering. They knocked on his door, told him their plans, and wouldn't you know, he was up to the task. I've been waiting for a challenge like this all week, he proclaimed. Out the door he went. Now, even leading the way from behind, Faith and Hope knew that they made the right decision, and they understood why he was placed upon their hearts in the first place. Because as 2 Thessalonians states, may the Lord bring you into the ever deep understanding of love of God and the endurance that comes from Christ. As they made it to the last hill that led to Joe's house, Faith cried out, stop! What is it? Inquired Endurance. As he came back to face him, I'm not sure, said Faith. It just feels like something or someone is missing. You know, responded Hope, I've been feeling that too. What could it be? Asked Endurance. Just then, from behind them, a familiar voice broke the silence. Perhaps I could help. The three friends turned around to witness love. Standing beside them, I've been following you, he uttered, trying to figure out what you were up to. Now I know. You're going for Joe, aren't you? And you're going to take him to Jesus, right? Well, not without me. And he threw his arms around them, binding them all together in love. Now they were complete. Now they were the Fantastic Four. Together they trekked the last 50 feet to Joe's house. And there they found him sitting on his front porch, wallowing in loneliness, reflecting on his inabilities. But his face brightened as he saw the Fantastic Four approaching. It was the first time today that anyone had showed any interest in him, and he was glad just for the company. Faith was the first to speak. Hey, Joe, we want to take you out for a walk today. Joe was dumbfounded. Not only had four men who were held high in regard come to visit him, they actually planned to spend some time with him. You're kidding, right? He said. No, Joe, answered Hope. You see, we heard that Jesus is across town, and we want to take you to go see him. Joe's heart sank, and it showed on his face. The first thought that came to his mind was these guys had come with an ulterior motive to try and impress this superstar that he heard about. This Jesus. Jesus, he smirked. Yeah, I heard about him. That miracle man who heals the sick and raises the dead. What would a star like him want to do with a guy like me? Besides, I heard that all his miracles were just sleight of hand and just setups. He can't do anything for me. I believe he can, piped Faith. I met him. He changed my life, and he made me believe. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he can do something awesome in your life. As well, you just have to believe. But look at me, Joe cried out. I'm a hopeless paralytic. Always have been, always will be. I am looking at you, Hope responded. And I don't see Hope a hopeless paralytic. I see a man who could come to greatness with just one touch of the Master's hand. "Guys," Joe said gravely, "don't get me wrong. I really appreciate your concern, but it's all the way across town, and I wouldn't expect you to waste all your time and energy on me." "Joe," said Endurance, "I'd go to the ends of the earth to take you to Jesus, even if it meant laying down my life." "Why," Joe screamed, "why would you do that for someone like me? I just don't understand." And as he finished that last word, he looked into the eyes of love. A silence broke over that neighborhood, and tears began to well in the eyes of Joe, and a lump in the back of his throat, as Joe understood why these four men had come to him. And it was there that Joe's house, that the healing of his life really began, and the paralysis in his heart started to break. And if he had never seen Jesus in the flesh, it would have been okay, because through the hearts of our four friends, he had already met him. For the first time in his life, Joe began to believe in something greater than his eyes could ever see. For the first time in his life, Joe began to have hope beyond the confines of his inabilities. And there sprang up within a new endurance, a new drive for life. For the first time in his life, Joe knew what love was. And with tears streaming down his face, Joe choked out the words, "I would like to meet Jesus now." No sooner had he uttered those words, he found himself flat on his back, heading off at breakneck speed to the house where Jesus was. And what a ride it was. No grander parade had ever been seen in all of Capernaum than these four fantastic friends displaying their hearts as they carried Joe on a pallet, driven by faith, hope, endurance, and love. They made the journey in half of their expected time, and their spirits soared in the anticipation right on up until they turned the last corner to the house of where Jesus was. They stopped dead in their tracks at the sight of a seemingly insurmountable task, taking in the image of an impenetrable crowd surrounding the house. Faith began to falter, and hope began to fade. And Joe was already ready to say, "I told you so," when Endurance said, "We press on." First, they tried to go through the crowd at the front door, but no one would budge. So Endurance led them around the left side, hoping to get in through a window, again to no avail. An attempt on the right side proved even more futile. There was no one on the back of the house, so they hurried there next, only to find no opening there either. Endurance felt a feeling in his soul that he did not like one bit. For the first time in his life, he thought he was defeated. He looked at faith and hope and finally at Joe with tear-filled eyes as if to say, "I'm sorry." It was then that love, who had been so quiet through the ordeal, finally spoke up. He said, "Guys, I know this doesn't look good, but I didn't bring Joe this far to fail him now. You see, 1 Corinthians says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love never fails, and love was not about to fail now. Love boosted faith, hope, and endurance up on the roof, and love single-handedly lifted Joe, placing him in their capable hands. By the time that love joined them on the roof, the other three had opened up a big hole enough to set Joe through. It was an awesome sight to see that roof come off and the sun beginning to shine through. Many people on the inside believed that it was the work of angels and that they'd be coming to join Jesus in a minute. But Jesus knew better. He knew that something much more than angels would be coming through that roof. It was the heart of a man ready for salvation. And he knew that in a minute, all of heaven would be rejoicing. The four friends secured a rope around Joe, and as everyone agreed, love should have the honors. So it was love that set Joe down at Jesus' feet. Jesus looked up, and guess who it was he first set his eyes upon? Faith. That's right, faith. The guy who got it all started. Because it says, seeing their faith, he said to Joe, son, your sins are forgiven. The Fantastic Four realized right then how big a thing it really was that had just gone down. They came to witness a miracle. What they got to witness was the greatest miracle of all. For Joe was still paralyzed physically. He was now set free eternally. They beamed with an external sense of accomplishment. And what a sight it was. Faith, hope, and endurance together, all bound by love. Now the story doesn't end there, because a few verses later, Jesus does perform the lesser miracle. In Mark 2, he said, the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, he took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And I wondered whatever became of Joe. That part of the story, I never got. Yet somehow I know, because of the Fantastic Four, Joe's story has no the end, only a happily ever after.
Let's thank Roxanne again. Isn't she a wonderful storyteller? That's why I picked her. So what's the moral of the story? What's the application of this message? Here it is. It is that there are Joes, or perhaps Janes, in all of our lives. People who will never get to Jesus on their own. People whose hearts have been paralyzed by circumstances bestowed upon them by this world, telling them that this life is all they have, and when it's over, it's over. So they live life in such a way, in a way of hopelessness, never able to see beyond the paralysis. Perhaps they're even sitting here right today. But fortunately for them, inside every Christian, inside every one of us dwells the Fantastic Four, faith, hope, endurance, and love. And God has granted each one of us these four gifts, not just for our benefit, but that we might use them for His glory. And nothing glorifies God more than when we choose to use them to bring spiritual paralytics to His feet. Each and every one of us has the capacity to be a fantastic friend. How fantastic we really are depends on how fantastic we allow these gifts to be in our lives. You see, if we hold on to them, hold them inside, and never allowing them to manifest in an active way, never using them to bring others to Jesus' feet, then they're nothing. We have to let them live. Would you realize this? That A, you may be the only one who has faith for Joe. You might be the only one who has faith for Joe. There are so many people right in our own backyard which no one believes in them. Everyone's given up on them. For some of them, it started right at home in a dysfunctional family where they've been trained to think that no one cares. Even mom and dad don't believe in them. You live with that kind of thinking long enough and you even begin to lose faith in yourself. And there's nothing sadder than watching a person live life when they no longer believe in themselves. It's just a downward spiral to the grave. Such is why our prisons are so overloaded today. Not because we're such an evil people, but because so many have lost faith in themselves. You know what the overlying message is that we get to share with them, with those who are in this predicament? It is that I believe. I believe in what my God can do in your life. I believe in the story that He wrote of you. Maybe you can't do it on your own. Perhaps that's impossible. But nothing is impossible for my God. Come, let me lay you at His feet because I believe. B, You may be Joe's last hope. You may be Joe's last hope. There are so many churches, some even right here in East Hawaii, that focus on the end times, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's their assignment. But here at New Hope East Hawaii, we understand this. We know that the end time for anybody can come well before Jesus is commissioned to return. Any one of us could be driving home today or crossing the street tomorrow and not make it to the other side. Such is true for Joe. You know, the advantage that we have, that Christians have, is that we've met Jesus and we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Our eternity is sealed, but that's not true for Joe. That's exactly how vital we are in his life, why God placed us there in the first place. And the truth is that time is running out, and we may be his very last hope. Remember that hope is the anchor of our soul, firm and secure. So ask yourself, is Jesus asking me to be that anchor in someone's life today? Perhaps even the last anchor, the last hope for them. See, you may be the only one willing to endure for him. You might be the only one willing to endure for him. We have two men here at New Hope East Hawaii whose lives serve as stories set upon the endurance of those of others who prayed for them. Who prayed, not just prayed for them, but prayed unceasingly for them to come to Jesus' feet. And I'm going to conceal their identities. I'll just refer to them as Scotty and Al. And you should know. You should know that these two men were the epitome of spiritual paralysis before meeting Jesus. I met Al when I was a child. And he wasn't a very nice person. Very successful in business and very set in his ways. As far as he was concerned, he could do all things on his own, and he didn't need Jesus in his life. But his wife knew better because she knew Jesus. And for 7 years, I watched her endure on her knees, unceasingly praying for an opportunity to lay her husband at Jesus' feet. She endured 7 years. Through heartbreak, through ridicule, through hopelessness, she endured. I met Scotty's wife when we were out at New Hope Puna in Pahoa. Didn't meet Scotty yet. But she would come in every Sunday, sit in the first row, and by the second worship song, she'd be on her knees in tears praying for her husband. Every Sunday for 8 years. Let me tell you the names of these two women because they deserve it. Their names are Berna Pacheco and Christy Shiroma. That's right, you'd never think that if you didn't know, yeah? Pastor Alex and Pastor Scott, they were Joes once. Now you think about that. When the rest of the world had lost faith and given up hope for them, two women endured on their knees, willing to press on until they got them to the feet of Jesus. How many Pastor Alex's and Pastor Scott's have fallen by the wayside because we've given up on them? Truth is that you may have, even right now, placed upon your heart men and women such as these. And they may be right in your household. And you may be the only one willing to endure. And then D, you may be the only love that Joe ever knows. You may be the only love that Joe ever knows. Let me read to you out of the book of 1 John, chapter 4. And I want everyone to hear this. This one is not in your notes. Listen to this good. In verse 16 it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. And God is love. In him." Who is love? God is love. And he is the only one who can heal the paralyzed heart. Anytime we choose to display love through our actions. Guess who Joe gets to see? He gets to see God firsthand. And here is what it all boils down to. That you may be the only Jesus that some people will ever get to see. And when you choose to reflect him well through love, that is where the paralysis begins to break. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm picturing in my heart, even right now, some Joes and some Janes in my life. And honestly, I cannot imagine an eternity without them. Be truthful with you. When I wrote this story, when I put this story down on paper, the Joe in my life at that time, the one that I kept picturing, he still hasn't come to Jesus yet. Still not yet. I'm waiting for him still. And even if it's on his deathbed with his very last breath, I believe that God will give me that opportunity. Will he come? I don't know. That's a choice that he gets to make. That's between him and God. What is between God and I is that I endure till the end. That I use the gifts that God gave me, faith, hope, endurance, and love, to bring him, to just look for that one opportunity to bring him to the feet of Jesus. I know that if I don't try, then he's lost all hope. God has equipped us with four fantastic friends, the real Fantastic Four, to help us do his will for the Joes that he's placed in our lives. Now, if we do, imagine this with me. In all of eternity, someone coming up to you and saying this. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, which says, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.